From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he begins a message bearing the title, Sin Exposed and Expunged. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Rest is a Gift. The text is Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We who are saved find rest in Jesus. Those who are not saved will receive rest if they come to Him, for here He promises to give it. Nothing can be freer than a gift. Let us gladly accept what He gladly gives. You are not to buy it, nor to borrow it, but to receive it as a gift. You labor under the lash of ambition, covetousness, lust, or anxiety. He will set you free from this iron bondage and give you rest. You are laden, yes, heavy laden with sin, fear, care, remorse, fear of death. But if you come to Him, He will unload you. He carried the crushing mass of our sin, that we might no longer carry it. He made Himself the great burden-bearer, that every heavy-laden one might cease from bowing down under the enormous pressure. Jesus gives rest. It is so. Will you believe it? Will you put it to the test? Will you do so at once? Come to Jesus by quitting every other hope, by thinking of Him, believing God's testimony about Him, and trusting everything with Him. If you thus come to Him, the rest which He will give you will be deep, safe, holy, and everlasting. He gives a rest which develops into heaven, and He gives it this day to all who come to Him.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed, till I heard sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I enter the haven of rest. I anchor my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea. Been the old story so blessed.
Jesus will save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I bank my soul in the haven of rest. I'll say, Jesus, I'm safe evermore. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. For this message, Dr. Cairns takes his text from chapter 9, verses 16 through 27 of the book of Joshua. Having heard of Israel's victories at Jericho and Ai, The Gibeonites came to Joshua with a false tale that they were from a far country. Neglecting to ask for the Lord's guidance, Joshua and the elders of Israel entered into a league with these people. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were but another Canaanite tribe. Reluctant to break his oath to them, Joshua made them slaves to Israel from that day forward. Ultimately, the Gibeonites became workers in the temple. In this message, Dr. Cairns will present important lessons about the deadliness of sin, whether it is hidden or not. We'll see that there is also a message of forgiveness here when the sin is confessed and forsaken. Finally, there will be a solemn warning that sin cannot and will not remain hidden forever. Now to introduce this message, Sin Exposed and Expunged, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning once again this morning to the ninth chapter of the book of Joshua. The ninth chapter of the book of Joshua. We considered the chapter as a whole last week, but today I want us to read the latter part of the chapter again, starting at verse 16. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 16. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed, and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, and Kephirah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far off from you, when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. They answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. Now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I want us to look at verse 16 in the context of the entire passage that we have read. It came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Last Lord's Day morning I remarked how that in chapter 9 of Joshua we face people whose actions were a mixture of good and bad, right and wrong. For example, it was good for the Gibeonites to desire peace with Israel instead of war, and to believe in the Lord God of Israel. However, it was wrong for them to seek their laudable purpose by means of deception and trickery. It was right for Israel to stand by the pledge Joshua and the princes had given to the Gibeonites. It was right for them, therefore, not to slay them. But it was wrong for them to have entered into such a treaty without asking direction and guidance from the Lord in the first place. So this is a chapter where you have right and wrong, good and bad, mingled on both sides, the Gibeonites and the Israelites. We have looked at that generally. Today I want us to focus on the wrong involved in the actions. It sounds a little negative, so maybe I should make it even more pinpoint accurate as to what I want to do. I want us to draw a very simple, but I think a very significant lesson from the errors, both of the Gibeonites and of the Israelites. The message of verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they'd made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and dwelt among them. The message of that verse, I think, may very well be summarized by the words of Moses on a very different occasion, when he said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." The deception of the Gibeonites was very short-lived. 3 days was all it took for them to be found out. The prayerless presumption of the children of Israel was not long in coming back to haunt them. They had entered into their decision without reference to God, to God's Word, to God's high priest, to Urim and Thummim, or to the place of prayer. Now very quickly, their decision faces them with all its ramifications after 3 short days. We read that there was grumbling among the Israelites when they heard that the Gibeonites were their near neighbors, and they had undertaken to let them live and to let their city stand. For remember that Israel had been sent into the land as the sword of God against nations that for hundreds of years had flaunted the law of God and had dropped more and more deeply into wickedness, viciousness, and violence that called down the judgment of God. So they grumbled. I suspect, however, that they were more concerned with the loss of the plunder of the cities of Gibeon than they were for the great principles of spiritual truth that may be involved. But that grumbling certainly must have caused the Gibeonites many anxious moments when they knew that there was this unhappy spirit in the great camp of Israel at the thought of the cities of Gibeon being allowed to stand in their integrity. The Gibeonites must have begun to wonder with great worry, will Joshua stand by his treaty? And even if he himself wishes to do so, will he be able to carry the princes with him? Will he be able to impose his will upon this group of Israelitish warriors who are just thirsting for the battle? Will he be able to keep the pledge that he has made to them? The portion of Scripture we have read makes it clear that indeed he did. But he also judged the duplicity of the Gibeonites. He made them slaves. Slaves especially of the house of God. Hewers of wood and drawers of water, for the sacrifice and for the service of the tabernacle and later for the temple. But he continued their protection that none could touch them or their possessions. And they never lost that, you know. In all the centuries that followed, they didn't lose that. In fact, 400 years later, King Saul, making the mistake of many a carnal man, sought to quell the guilt of his conscience for his own disobedience by great zeal against the Gibeonites. And he sought vengeance upon them 400 years after their forebears had been guilty of this duplicity. But God would not allow Saul's sin to stand. And the house of Saul was visited with swift vengeance because of their wickedness against the Gibeonites. So we see that while they were brought in to be the slaves of the house of God, yet they kept their cities, they kept their lands, they kept their possessions. It's a kind of slavery that the world has never known the like of in any other place. They were servants of the house of God to draw the water and to hew the wood for the sacrifice. And they were protected from any man ever laying his hand upon them. One consequence, however, of this arrangement was that ever afterwards, both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel would have before them a constant reminder of both the goodness and the severity of God. The more I look at that passage, the more I think of those words of the Apostle Paul, the goodness and the severity of God, each of them came to understand that. For, first of all, the sin of both parties found them out. The sin of the Gibeonites certainly found them out. The sin of the Israelites found them out. But yet, in the mercy of the Lord, He turned what was evil to good account. As we have noted, the Gibeonites were judged, but that very judgment brought them near to the house of God. They were unique among the peoples of the earth, born heathens, condemned as heathens, yet they were brought near to the house of God. No nation outside of Israel. And I believe these in effect became proselytes of Israel. But no nation ever came to learn of God, His Word, His work, His sacrifice, His altar, His holy place, His feast, His types, His gospel, as the Gibeonites did. The Israelites at first suffered for their sin. There was the sin of, or the result of dissension. Remember how murmuring and dissension had wrought havoc in Israel in earlier times. This was no small matter. There was great dissension. There was great national debate and national division because of their prayerless presumption. But again, the Lord turned it to good, for He gave them in the Gibeonites friends instead of enemies, and a special and very much respected class of workers for the house of God, for His service ever afterwards. Now, as I thought of those things, I thought that we would consider the subject of sin exposed and expunged. To me, those are the two great ideas that this passage of Scripture brings forth. Sin exposed and expunged. And I have three very simple things to remark upon that. First of all, let me note from this passage that even when it lies hidden from human view, sin is a great evil. It is a deadly evil. For a period of time, both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel lived in their sin without discovery and apparently without hurt. It appeared for this time that each of them had been able to flaunt the plain teaching of the law of God and get away with it. But you know, appearances are very deceptive, and that was far from being true. Take the case of the Gibeonites. Think of the unease that the Gibeonites must have felt during that brief period between the success of their trickery and the exposure of their trickery. During that period, they must have lived with a deepening sense of uneasiness. There was always that thought, is there someone or something that is going to expose our treachery? Everything depended on the exact direction that Joshua would take for his next battle. They may have hoped to have got away with this trickery for months. They may have thought it may even have lasted for a year. It turned out very differently, but however the period, or however long the period may have been, there would always be that gnawing of heart and conscience. Will we be exposed? And when Joshua and the princes and the warriors of Israel find out that we who could not withstand them on the battlefield, we have tricked them, what will their reaction be? They have the power to crush us. What will their reaction be? What a picture of a people living in guilt and foreboding because of their sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.